goals again. Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Frank De Boer seeking out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful! That is a magnificent goal! Balotelli, Aguero!
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin and joining me this week got Shane Lees.
Oh, hi, Alexander!
What?
Hello to all our Japanese listeners.
Oh, okay. I'm Richard here.
Good day to our...
What a start.
How are you doing this evening, lads?
Yeah, I've been learning Japanese today.
Oh, really?
No.
You okay, Hero?
I'm very good, yourself.
I'm alright. I'm a bit disappointed. My online manager game, I got relegated. So,
is that Football Manager or...?
It's called Trophy Manager, so my TV money has gone from nearly £25 million per game to £9 million a game.
And that's kind of what you get for buying a second-rate game.
Yeah, but my wage bill's £16 million a week, so I need to get it down. I need to somehow get rid of £8 million worth of players.
£16 million a week? Who did you sign? 20 Neymars?
It's all made up.
No, 20 Neymars would be cheaper. 20 Neymars would genuinely be cheaper.
But, yeah, most of my players are on over £1 million a week, and I'm playing in, like, League 2.
What the hell is that game?
Trophy Manager?
I'm running out of a list of things I'm never Googling.
I've been playing it since 2010, and I've just... Took me years and years and years to get from the non-league up to League One, and I did one season in League One and got relegated back down to League Two. So,
but you play Nigerian League or something for this inflation?
I'm playing in the English League.
Jesus. Yes.
I'm gonna have to get
rid of that. Can you imagine the day with Jamie Curtin's on £800,000 a week? That's when trouble's really gone mad.
Alright. So
how much is Jesse Lingard on this game?
£13 billion.
Alright, so rather than do the news this week, we're going to go straight into discussing the big nations that won't make the plains of Russia. So,
right.
Shall we start with Wales, who lost one?
Start with the big nations.
Well, Wales, they're in the top 10 of the world, aren't they?
I know. Oh, I'm gutted.
Yeah, I lived in Wales for 3 years, so I'm quite unhappy they haven't made it.
Yeah.
They were a really strong addition to the Euros last year. They made it a lot more interesting. But on the other hand, I'm actually quite glad the Irish made it, because they have got some of the best football fans around, haven't they?
Imagine if both Ireland make it. It's amazing.
So, yeah, I'm kind of like mixed feelings. I wanted the Irish fans to make it, but the Welsh fans didn't make it. So, yeah, it's quite sad. It's quite surprising as well, because Wales should have probably won that group. I know people are going to say Serbia are a good team, and yes, Serbia are a good team, they've got good players. But you'd think with the way Wales have been going, they should have done an awful lot better, and there's no real reason why they did as badly as they did. They're not a worse team than they were in the Euros, they're almost the exact same team. And teams around them haven't exactly got a lot better either, so there's no good reason for it, other than I think perhaps just a little complacency. I think they got ahead of themselves.
Don't you think it's partly as well due to Bale not really being 100% for quite a while?
Yeah, that's going to play a part in it, but it's still a very good squad. I mean, yes, I know you've got players like Ashley.
It's a good squad, but you take out, you know, a top five player in the world, and it's going to have an adverse effect.
True, but I mean, let's take a look at the Ireland game, Wales Ireland. Ireland had, who did they have missing yet? Shane Long, Jonathan Waters, there was this, I can't remember who the midfielder was who was missing as well. Yeah, him gone. So they had a very weak squad to what they'd normally have. And then you're saying, oh, well, those aren't players like Gareth Bale. Of course they're not, but they're the team players that make Ireland, they play team football, the team they are, and they still managed to put in one hell of a good performance to go and make it. The Welsh should have won that game, even without Bale. The fact they didn't, it was, I think, a little bit of almost tactical naivety.
So Scotland's apparently genetically inferior midgets, according to Gordon Strachan.
Just look at Chris Hoy, that tiny man.
I am paraphrasing. He didn't exactly say them words, but he said that they're the second smallest nation in the world in the qualifying behind Spain.
Oh, yes, that was terrible. Oh, no, the Spanish are terrible at football, hasn't anyone told you? Awful, absolutely rubbish. So Azerbaijan.
So is this actually a terrible excuse, or has he actually got some kind of point?
No, he's gone mad.
he's left, hasn't he, anyway, now?
Has he? I've not seen the news.
He's been... I don't know if it was mutual, but he's no longer manager of Scotland.
No.
I'll put it this way. If I said to you, picture your average Scottish man, you're probably not picturing someone who's 5'8", are you? Let's face it, there are people who are kind of known for throwing giant logs.
I'd say most people are probably imaging Mel Gibson.
Well, don't do that, he's an American. But he's
Australian.
Whatever, who cares? He's an anti-Semite, who gives a shit? Right, the whole thing with Scotland being genetic inferior, I can get the point he might have been making, the sense of our team's quite small, but we're also not very technical, so we haven't really got anything going for us. But he could have called up taller, fitter, stronger players. He didn't. The problem with Scotland wasn't that they weren't bigger than their opponents, because I don't know, if I'm going to weigh, who's better in terms of physicality? The Scottish, who are basically unconquered for 400 years, have a very robust diet, or the Slovenians, who have been, you know, systematically oppressed by the Soviet Union and the Nazis, and basically every single person who ever preceded them, and have never exactly had good diets. I'm going to guess it's going to be the Scottish who are the taller bits of people. Yeah. Shock horror, it turns out it's who you call up. And then that comes back down to Strachan, doesn't it, surely?
I don't think anybody has ever before described the Scottish as having a fit diet.
I said robust diet. I deliberately avoided saying fit. I said robust. They have lots of food. No, he's either gone mad, Mr. Strachan, or he's just completely tripped over his words and accidentally said genetically when he probably meant something else. I will genuinely wager. He said genetically, and really in his head just went, shit, what did I just say? I really meant something different. Well, I'm just going to have to stick with this now, aren't I?
Well,
He's always been one that's just had a bit of I don't really care what I say to the press.
No, yeah, he's always been. That's what people like about him.
He's been ashamed he's not been in club football for a while, because he is an entertaining manager.
Yeah, because he only has two modes. He's either extremely stupidly happy or sarcastic bastard. That's it. Sarcastic grumpy bastard.
We had a Saints. I like Gordon Strachan. He was a decent manager for us. I think most Saints fans agree. He was a good manager. He holds himself well. But there's one reason why Scotland didn't qualify, and that's because Scotland were probably not even the third best team in that league. And so you couldn't really expect them to be qualifying in the top two. Slovakia have a very good team. They're unlucky to have not made the playoffs.
Mm.
England are better than them. Sorry, Scotland, but we are. Slovenia are either about the same or slightly better because they've got a few more stars, players like Josip Ilicic. So when people are sort of going, oh, this is a really big shock, or, oh, in that group they should have done better, I think that's just them not really knowing that some of these Eastern European teams are actually quite good now.
Yeah,
I think that the positives for Scotland at the moment is that they have got a few young kids coming through that actually look quite decent.
They've got some good players coming in.
It was probably a bit too early for them for this run, but you know, going towards the Euros, they might start gaining a bit of more of a chance, especially with the Euros being a bigger tournament nowadays.
On that basis, should they have kept Strachan? Because Strachan's probably the best Scottish manager about in terms of for the future.
Do you think it's going to be Moyes?
Oh, bloody hell, I hope not, for Scotland's sake. I mean, I don't dislike Scotland, but I quite like the Scottish. They're generally quite a nice bunch when you get right down to it. I wouldn't want to put them through that, and I like David Moyes. Jeez.
I'm just thinking of Scottish people available.
He's
got to be in there with
his chair. Paul Lambert still knocking about?
Yeah. How about somebody like Dick Advocaat, who's just left Holland?
I can't see them going for another overseas manager again.
But didn't he do amazing with Rangers? So he's kind of a bit of a hero.
Yeah, that always goes well with Scotland when you get someone who's really well known for either Celtic or Rangers.
I'm just trying to think of available managers who.
They should just hire, I don't know, Glenn Whelan.
Well, they want Michael O'Neill.
I know Glenn Whelan's Irish, but he's alright.
They want Michael O'Neill, the Northern Ireland manager. That's
the point is the base.
Did they want Michael O'Neill?
Yeah.
How the hell do they think they can get Michael O'Neill? He's at a better nation for football.
He lives in Scotland. I think that's the whole argument. He lives in Edinburgh.
Jesus, that is desperate. That's like me. I do recruitment for a living. At no point do I think, well, they're in the same place. Maybe that postman can do you that software development job.
I shall move on to so Ian Robbins retired from international football following the Netherlands' failure to reach the World Cup. The Netherlands needed to win by 7 goals to have a chance of winning, to reach in the finals. Hero, what's gone wrong for Dutch again?
It's probably the weakest Dutch squad that there's been for a long time.
Well, they haven't the Swedish squad.
Well, they beat the Swedish team. It was just over the... Yeah, they just slipped up far too many other games.
Even if they have a poor team, they usually have a star striker, the Dutch. They don't seem to have one at the moment.
Well, they had that the guy that went to Spurs and just did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But when he was out back in the Netherlands beforehand, before he moved, he was scoring more than a goal a game, which I know it's just in the Dutch league, which often gets laughed at for strikers, but... You know, for every Alfonso Alves that comes over, you also get like a Luis Suarez or Rufus.
I mean, they also got that Bastos fella, and he's pretty good. I don't buy the whole thing that the Dutch squad was terrible. Yes, it's not as good as previous Dutch squads have been, obviously, but they should have at least got the playoffs there. It is quite bad. The problem is they've got their older players that once they were, you know, kind of a golden generation, are rather good, but I think maybe they don't have as much passion anymore. Younger players, they've got very good young players for Dutch, as always, but it's that middle lot. They're kind of almost in the same position we're in, and it's that middle lot who just aren't actually very good. And it's kind of, they should have maybe gone and done what the Spanish did, which is have a middle lot which is actually rather good by playing that younger lot a little bit earlier, rather than emulating the English, which is never a good idea in any situation, in any footballing circumstance ever.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The young ones about aren't too bad, but the sort of 25 to 30 year olds that they've got at the moment, there's not really much in there.
I've got to say as well, people are going, oh, you know, it's a real sad thing. Ian Robbins retired and he's not going to see off with one last World Cup. Do you know what? I'm bloody glad. Yeah, Ian Robbins is a great player. He's also scum. He is diving, footballing scum. He's Luis Suarez, but bald and somehow uglier.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as scum. I'd say he's a dick.
No, I'd say scum. He is a serial cheat. I still remember back in, what was it, the World Cup in Brazil, when he dived to get the Mexican team out.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things like, Jesus Christ. I mean, you're supposed to be representing football, especially at something like a World Cup, and that's what we're turning it into. He's scum. I'm not happy he's retired. Good. We shouldn't be celebrating players like that. If they're genuinely massively talented and not scum, fantastic, let's celebrate more while. You know, Harry Kane, he's a player I think we can celebrate, because unlike Dele Alli, who probably is scum, we can actually appreciate Harry Kane a little bit. But, you know,
scum is quite low.
He's quite low.
Is Ronaldo in there?
Ronaldo's slightly above scum. He doesn't do it institutionally. He's more like an opportunist. He's more like an opportunist. I'm not saying he's not a certain type of bastard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's, you know, a good example of this. He's just a layer. He's like that layer of filth above the layer of filth on soup.
What about Busquets?
Oh, no, you scum. He's an absolute bastard.
Oh, I love this stuff.
Yeah, come on. That man is just pure footballing evil.
Oh, I want an article from you for the website, Layers of Scum. How you define each layer.
Layer by layer, which part of the cake or horrendous soup are you?
It could be like one of the on Top Gear where they used to have the cool or not cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
USA have also not made it. It's been described as the worst defeat in the history of the US national team and a catastrophe for the growth of the sport in the Americas. First time since 1986 they haven't made the finals. Shane, was it a surprise to you?
No. I mean, the main thing I've got to say is ha 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 ha. But, I mean, no, generally, they're not a very good team. The USA have had good teams in the past, not, you know, great teams. They've had teams that were good enough to, one, easily qualify in North America. The team then actually to go on and do not badly in a World Cup. I mean, they've, pretty sure in the last few years, they've done better than us consecutively, so that should probably say something. But the team they've got at the moment, it's a lot of nothing players. They've got some that you think, okay, maybe he could be half decent, but they're full of players who are only really good in the MLS and can't compete with the international quality. And you've got the problem, which is in North America, the standard of football is going up and up and up. The Jamaican national team are better than ever before. You've got Panama, who are actually a good team now. Them qualifying is not a massive shock. They are good enough to qualify. Costa Rica, we've seen over the last few years how much they've improved. So North American football as a whole is improving, but the USA national team has massively declined. I don't think this was a shock at all. I think this was about par for a team that hasn't been good enough for a little while now, who's lost all of their best players because they've essentially gone off and retired or just don't really care enough anymore, players like Clint Dempsey. And now they're left with really not a lot. Because, I mean, if I was to say to you, in the last 10 years, think about the American players who've played in European leagues. By and large, they've ended up in the Premier League or in the Bundesliga. And I say to you now, try and think of three players like that. You could have done it before. You can't do it now. It's what, that Pusevic fella for Dortmund? It's probably the only one you can mention.
I'm trying to think of an outfield player. Can I think of goalkeepers?
The one that's DeAndre Yedlin.
And he's rubbish.
Cameron. Oops. Cameron from Stoke.
Like Hamburg or something.
Which one?
Jeff Cameron.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay, but we're getting pretty desperate when we're saying Jeff Cameron. John Brooks, yes, he could be a very good player, but it's a general all-round thing. You've got to have a good squad. Look at the Irish team, are a great example of it. No star players whatsoever. Not a single bloody one. Remember, every single one of those players will be capable of giving you a 7 out of 10. They'll be capable of being a team player. If you haven't got the players, you've got to actually develop a proper team mentality, just like Iceland did. In Euros, and like they've done throughout this qualification campaign, they don't have the star players, but they all make sure they're putting in a proper team effort. The USA couldn't even do that. So they don't have the players, but they also don't have the actual proper team mentality, the siege mentality you need for that. So I just don't buy that this is a big shock. It's a team that wasn't really good enough, would have probably not been out of a group stage in the World Cup. So frankly, let's bring in a team who's not been there before and could turn up and do something. Because you never know, they could be like an Iceland when it comes to the World Cup. So good on Panama.
I think there's one player over in the MLS that is meant to be looking quite decent that is actually an ex-United player called Jack Harrison, who's English.
He plays for New York. Does he play for New York? One of the New York teams.
Yeah, he plays for the New York City, and apparently both United and are sort of battling it out to try and get him back here. I think he's got a debut for the under-21s in the next game.
You've called that as the under-21. I heard an interview with him the other day. He sounds like a really nice lad. the last big nation we're going to talk about is the back-to-back cup with Copa America winners, Chile, were knocked out after losing to 3-0 to Brazil. Are these another team with too many aging players and not enough players coming through to replace them?
The South American group is the hardest group to get out of.
Yeah, it is such a competitive competition, that one. I mean, Tim Vickery put a really good article on the BBC going for it, and I'd recommend everyone read it, because he's actually one of the few BBC sports writers who's not a moron. But you look at the teams that didn't qualify, you've got Paraguay and Ecuador and Chile, you've also got Bolivia and Venezuela. Venezuela have really good young players. I think it was the Under-20s World Cup, they made the finals. I think they lost to England, I can't remember if that was the Under-20s or younger. Ecuador have got plenty of players who are playing in major European leagues. Paraguay the same. So good nations that could have been at that World Cup and gone out of the group stage potentially have gone out there. So I would agree it's such a competitive qualification there. And yes, they do have aging players like Sanchez and Vidal and Medel, who are starting to get on the wrong side of their years. They have got some decent young players. Again, it's a case of the middling players aren't really good enough. But that's also true of Peru, who snuck into the playoff spot. That's also true of Colombia. That's also probably true of Uruguay. So I think it's more just the pure strength in that qualification table.
Right, so the four teams that went through from Brazil, from the South Americans were Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, and Colombia. Peru have made it into a two-leg playoff with New Zealand. Would New Zealand be happier playing Peru?
Than Argentina, I would certainly think so. It's a slightly more even contest at that point. Yeah. It's actually worked out quite well the way in North America, Honduras took the qualifiers for, which means it's a really even game between Australia and Honduras, and it's now quite an even game between New Zealand and Peru. It's still, Peru are going to be favourites for that. They haven't got a bad side at all. But I do prefer that. I still think it needs rethinking the way that works out, because again, with the strength in that group, they can easily end up facing someone like Chile or Colombia, and that's just going to be a walkover in all probability. But yeah, I think it is quite good that we could have both Australia and New Zealand have a World Cup, because that's a very rare occasion.
It must be the first time ever it happens. I have to look into it.
It was a shame Siri didn't get through, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame for the narrative. For the story of it, I think, yeah, that's not great, because obviously you want that almost the underdog story, the minnows and all of that lot. I will say I am quite glad for Australia, because I think they always do add something to the World Cup when they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether or not, it's a bit like the Irish. They're never going to go on and win the thing. The fans come in and they really add something. And the team, they always tend to play really quite nice football. I mean, everyone remembers that Tim Cahill wonder goal in Brazil. And the Australians played good football in that competition. They went out playing good football because they knew that was part of what the Australian fans wanted to see.
Mm.
They knew they weren't going to win it. Fair enough. And I've got to say, Tim Cahill, he's, what, 37 years old, scores those two goals for them through. What a machine he is. How do you end up still being capable of doing that? 37. Rooney's retired at, what, 30, 32, 33 from international duty?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Tim Cahill, what a player he is.
Alright, so in part two, we'll be discussing the Ballon d'Or 30-man shortlist. But first, it's time for the first round of Sunday Pitch. Hero, you won last week. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll let ladies go first, Shane.
You dick.
Alright, so 5 guesses each, as usual. So the 4 leagues for the UEFA Nations League have been confirmed. I want you to name the nations that make up League D. So it's the 16 worst nations in Europe, basically.
Okay. Is it just any of them?
Yeah, you've got 5 guesses each.
Okay, San Marino.
San Marino, yes.
They're always the traditional whipping boys, aren't they?
Yeah, just name the worst team.
I still love that match where they went 1-0 up versus England in the first few minutes.
That's still the fastest international goal ever scored.
I got vague recollection, I think. So 93,
I'll
92.
I'll go with one of the newer whipping boys, Gibraltar.
That was going to be my one.
1-1.
Okay, sticking with that area, Malta.
Yes. A bit better to put these late nations in alphabetical order.
I'll stay Spanish theme with Andorra then.
Andorra. Yes.
Oh, okay, I know one actually.
Because
basically they're brand new and terrible. Kosovo.
Kosovo, yeah.
Free to. Liechtenstein.
Yes.
Oh, the other weird small nation, Luxembourg.
Yes.
Sorry, Luxembourger people.
Faroe Islands.
Yes. Let's go each.
Moldova?
Yep. For full house for Shane. First round.
To think of the shitty Soviet country options.
I was going to say the other one that begins with M.
The other one that begins with M, but I'm trying to think of another one that begins with M. Macedonia.
Yes.
Thanks, Shane.
Five ball after the first round.
I was going to say Montenegro, but yeah, that'll do soon. They're not bad, actually. That would have been done.
Alright, so you also could have had Azerbaijan, Belarus, Georgia, Armenia, Latvia, and Kazakhstan.
Here's one. How have we got Central Asian countries in the European nations, though? Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan. Not exactly European country names.
We've got Israel in it.
Yeah, but Israel can't play any of their neighbours because they might get blown up if they do. That's slightly understandable. Why aren't the Kazakhs playing in, I don't know, Asia or us?
Might get blown up by their neighbours. We're not having North Korea in the
Well, no, obviously, North Korea do play. They play in Asian competition. Israel will probably get blown up if they go and play the Arabs. That's very quite likely. They're kind of targeted out there, and for their entire bloody history, if you hadn't realised.
Perhaps they shouldn't be such dicks.
Oh, you're one of them. All right. Israel and
Davis. So, what I'll do, I'll look it up and I'll announce it on the show next week. Yeah?
Yes.
Then we'll all know. Alright, so the nominations for the 2017 Ballon d'Or have been revealed. Cristiano Ronaldo is the big favourite to defend his crown. To match, and I think it'll match Messi's 5 trophies if he wins it.
Yeah.
Do we think it's a straight fight between them two, or do you think Neymar might have a chance this year?
It should be a straight fight. I don't think anyone else should be in there with them.
Should it be a straight fight? Why is Messi going to win it? Obvious question. I know he's one of the best players in the world, but the Ballon d'Or is for, were you the best player in the world?
That year.
That year.
How many goals did he score this year?
I don't know. He didn't bloody win a thing.
I think he still outscored Ronaldo individually.
I'm not going to be able to Google that because I've explained my laptop situation. But I don't know. I mean, surely it's also going to have an impact on... let's say, I don't know, Jozy Altidore played for Sunderland and scored 40 goals and they still went down. He wouldn't be in competition for the Ballon d'Or. But they've surely got to have something else on top of it, like, I don't know, winning league titles, those kinds of things, Champions League. What Barcelona done?
Not a great deal.
Well, yeah, why is he in competition for it?
Because he's about the only person that's still in his stratosphere.
But it's not about who is the best player in the world of all time, it's who's the best player this year.
And he's still the person that's probably closest.
Really? On what basis? And he's got a really good left foot. Fantastic. Good for him. So, Roberto Carlos had a really good left foot. Did he ever win it? Of course not. He might have.
So would you have anywhere near Ronaldo this year?
No one. That's the point. No one is close to him this year. people say, oh, it's between Messi and Ronaldo, because they're thinking, well, it's got to be between someone. Messi hasn't got anywhere near him this year. No one has. Shit, I think David Luiz has got closer than Messi. And he's a centre-back. He actually genuinely has had an absolutely amazing last year. But I really don't get it when people go, oh, it's Ballon d'Or, so it's got to be between Messi and Ronaldo. Some years it's not. Mm-hmm. Messi didn't have a good year. Not you know, best player in the world kind of year. Maybe top five, maybe. I don't know. I don't really buy it. I think people just go, oh, well, it's got to be. He's got to be up there, isn't he? It's Messi, after all. It's not best player in the world. In which case, if we're doing that competition, yes, of course, it's between Ronaldo and Messi currently. But it's best player on that year. You take that competition year.
Yeah, but it's not up just up until the end of summer, though. It's also the beginning of this year, in which Ronaldo's yet to score a goal in the league, and Messi's already on 11.
Yeah, but doesn't that have much? We do know that it has a much less, you know, sizable impact, what they do in this part of the year, than what they did in the previous one. Because in the previous one's where they win all the trophies and stuff.
Yeah, Messi's 3 goals to take Argentina through to the World Cup.
Oh yes, he just about saved an Argentina side that should have probably won the thing and stopped them from not going to the World Cup. Well done. That's when people go, oh, David Beckham's free kick goal against Greece. What a moment that is. What a play. We should have bloody qualified with our standing on our bloody hands. So that's a ridiculous thing. Come on. Exactly. I know he's Messi, but he's not been the best player in the world this year. I don't even know if he's been the second best player in the world. Ronaldo has been so far above him.
Is it a bit early for Neymar? Because one of the reasons he moved to France was because he thought it might help him win the Ballon d'Or. So would he be probably looking more towards next year?
He'd probably get third.
Third, okay.
But as distance the gap is between Ronaldo and Messi, it's as big again between Messi and Neymar.
Yeah, definitely agree
there. 7 players from the Premier League were nominated. It's Philippe Coutinho, Kevin De Bruyne, David De Gea, Harry Kane, N'Golo Kanté, Sadio Mane.
How the hell is Coutinho in that list?
I was about to say exactly that.
Eden Hazard.
How did they? They went right, okay, so yeah, Liverpool finished third.
Yeah, we're saying about, like, what did Messi and Barcelona do last year? What did Liverpool do last year?
I'm not going to argue with you. What the hell did they do? Oh, Klopp, they put some pressure on. Great, well done.
I know Pogba didn't perhaps have the best year, starting year at United, but he still came out winning 2 trophies and got voted Europa League Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be a fair thing to say that neither Pogba or Coutinho or really any of those players who didn't do an awful lot deserve to be in contention for the best player in the world. I know they've got to make a really long list, but at the end of the day, they've got to also say that every single one of these players is in contention to be the best player in the world. Because, hell, we don't know what kind of match-fixing and vote rigging there could be. So even if you put them in there, it could happen.
Pogba would still be in the top 30.
If you're asking me from last year, no, I don't think so. If you're asking me, is he one of the top 30 players in the world overall, yeah, I would agree. But from last year, I think it's... From last year, no.
Alexander was brilliant for Arsenal last year.
Was he?
Yeah! Pretty much the only reason Arsenal managed to do anything last season was because of him.
But surely it does also take into account the sheer massive lack of achievement from the team he played in terms of what were the consequences of all of the things he did. It's the same point I made before. If Josie Altidore scored 40 goals for a relegated Sunderland side, it makes dick all difference. So surely it isn't really worth that much. On the same basis that Philippe Coutinho scoring a couple of wonder goals for a third place who cares Liverpool team is as valueless as so forth.
Yeah, I don't get how Coutinho and Mane both made it, but like Aguero and Sanchez didn't.
I have a feeling when they're picking these lists, they do take into consideration who they play for and what country they play for, thinking we need to have a certain amount of African players on there, a certain amount of South American players on there. If we include no one from this club, they're going to get pissy, so we need... let's pick three from there. We need a couple from here as well. I'm feeling that kind of is a pretty significant thing.
And like from Germany, Dembele didn't make it in, and he was pretty much the most exciting player in Germany last year.
What about Harry Kane? Could he have a chance of making the top three?
I think he's got as much chance as someone like Neymar. If we're going on the basis of, you know, what did Barcelona do? What did Neymar do? Okay, not a lot. What did Tottenham do? Okay, again, not a lot. Yes, they got close, but so did Barcelona in that sense. If we're almost doing the weightings of the leagues and the goals they scored and the assists and the impact on the teams, yeah, I'd say Harry Kane last year was as good as Neymar, but it's still a massive gulf to get any further than that.
Well, you're arguing that Messi didn't have a great year, but Harry Kane had an amazing year.
No, I'm arguing that Harry Kane was maybe a massive gulf away from Messi in third place in that contending for Neymar, who was also a massive gulf away in the sense that both of them didn't really do an awful lot of consequence, but scored a lot of goals.
Finishing second in the Premier League is an achievement, isn't it? For Tottenham.
Is it? Tottenham. yeah, okay, maybe it's an achievement for Tottenham, but I don't think the rest of the world gave a shit. Really, did they? People in Spain going, oh, that Tottenham, yes, they put the pressure on. I don't know why they're sounding Russian. did they say that, oh, second place at Tottenham, what an achievement that is. No!
You're really spoiling us.
yes, Mr. No, the problem is they put in so few of the players who did well, but also had a consequence of it, some kind of achievement on the back of it, that when we're looking at things like second and third place, it's a little bit irrelevant, I think. I don't think it matters an awful lot.
I think this list shows a lack of imagination. If somebody like me doesn't watch European football that much, knows everybody on the list.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Alright, so we'll do the second round on the pitch. Only four guesses each on this one. So Richard, you go first.
Right.
I want you to name the eight nations that were eliminated in the group stage in Euro 16.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, I've slept since then.
Have you not slept since the Nations League announcement? Jesus, you must be so excited!
England or one word? Oh no, England got...
Oh no, you've got to accept it, he said England!
No, I meant that! They got knocked out by Iceland. So who did?
Sneaky bugger.
I'm just used to England just failing that badly. A step ahead.
It would have been pretty embarrassing when six of the eight third place teams got through the next round.
Who was in England's group? Wales were in it. Wales, England, Slovakia. Slovakia?
No. Shade.
Who were the fans we had all those problems with, Richard? Russia! Call yourself an Englishman.
Correct.
I'm trying to think of the groups. So a big one that went out early. Oh, I know one. I remember one. Because of Shane.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was going to say it. No.
Nice. Ukraine.
Ukraine. Shane's picked to win it.
That's the only one I can really remember. Because I said they were going to win it. And they didn't score a goal. They were terrible. Yeah, I got that one a little bit wrong. I'll admit that.
I draw at level. Okay. 6-all. Go in hand.
Oh, I know, actually. Albania.
Albania, so
they were celebrating that they thought they got through and then they were eliminated the next day.
Yeah. Richard, Shane's at the lead.
Ibra's team, Sweden.
Yes, draws at level.
Can I say the Ukraine again?
Nope.
Sweden?
You said that?
Yeah, I was paying attention. Actually, I know. Austria.
Austria, yeah.
Because they were terrible.
I'm sure you predicted they'll do well as well.
Yeah, I'm not often correct.
To stay in the game, Richard, your last go. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you can say you either lose or have a chance of drawing.
I will go with a team I always think should do better, but they generally always feck up. And I think they've already fecked up in the World Cup. Turkey.
Yes. Let's see, for the win, Shane.
How many countries are left?
Two.
Oh, God. Now I said them. Romania.
Yes. Well done, Shane.
Thank God.
You got 9 out of 9, Shane. Well done. You also could have had Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah, they were crap.
Alright, so congratulations, congratulations, Shane. Yeah, this week's
last week I applauded you, Richard. I feel like it should be returned. You're a cock.
Boy.
You're not my friend.
Alright, so at the weekend, Paul Merson picked his 23-man England squad to go to the World Cup. I just want to see if we can pick a better squad. So
we probably can.
His goalkeepers were Hart, Butland and Pickford. So staying at home is probably Forster, Heaton, Foster.
Go with what he says there.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, as much as I should be saying Fraser Forster, he is a hologram. He's not actually real. The ball just floats through him. He's like that thing in Blade Runner. He doesn't exist at all. And I'm glad other people are starting to acknowledge that he's crap.
But Joe Hart, I don't want him to be starting for England anymore, but I would still just have him in the squad.
Yeah.
I'd give him one more tournament. I still like Joe Hart. I still think he's a good player. And for everyone who raves about Jack Butland, he's not there yet. He's not at that level yet.
Everybody knows if you just kick the ball near his feet, he's not going to be able to do anything about it.
Yeah. People also have figured out about Pickford this season. And Butland, they've worked out, all you've got to do is get close enough and he just forgets to go to ground. Every goalkeeper has their problem. I think at this point there's no harm in giving Joe Hart one more tournament because, let's face it, all of our goalkeepers are probably going to do as badly as each other.
Yeah.
We've got to be realistic there, Richard. We're terrible.
I think you'd give Butland and Pickford a disservice, I don't...
I think they could be very, very good goalkeepers. At this point, I don't think they're any better than Joe Hart. Maybe they're not that much worse, but you might as well stick with Hart.
Right, so I'd
certainly be giving them the chance in these two friendlies coming up.
they'll definitely agree, just to see if they can
I'd give Butland's foot 2 for 90 minutes in the next two. I won't even bother with Pickford. I'll take Pickford as the third choice, just to give him experience.
Or do what I do on FIFA, which is only take one goalkeeper and keep your fingers crossed.
You have to take three, that's the rule.
More room for attackers, put them in as goalkeepers. Rush keeper.
I'm sure there's a rule that says the named three keepers can only play as keepers.
Rush keeper.
Because they'll say, why don't you just take Jagielka as your third choice keeper and play him as centre back, an extra defender? But I'm sure there's a rule that says they have to play as goalkeepers.
Rush keeper.
Alright, so his right backs were Kyle Walker and Kieran Trippier. So he could also have Nathaniel Clyne. Is he the only other one's been playing recently?
I know it sounds ridiculous, but Matt Loughton's not been bad. Again, I know it's ridiculous. It's Matt Loughton. He was at Aston Villa a few years ago. But he's been bloody solid for Burnley. And there's a thing to be said for taking two fullbacks who are entirely attacking fullbacks. Matt Loughton is a defensive fullback. He is good at defending, which is something you cannot say about Kyle Walker or Kieran Trippier. They are wingers who can't play in the winger position because there are better wingers with them. Carragher said, they're just failed wingers. I do kind of agree with that. I would think if you're going to bring players to a World Cup, you're going there thinking, right, if this player gets injured, I want like for like. Or you're thinking, okay, if we're going up against a team where we're going to need to sit back and defend rather than go ahead and attack, then we need a different option. I think we need a different option, so I'd rather go with someone like Loughton. Not necessarily Loughton, but he's a good example of it.
I would say the two that are in are probably right. What I would have, I would be putting in a centre-back that could also play there, who's currently not in the England squad.
Who?
A player that I've laughed at and wanted out of United for a good couple of years, but this season so far, he's possibly been
Phil
the
Jones.
Best centre-back in the league.
Phil Jones.
Phil Jones.
He's definitely a wonderful player to me.
You think I'd argue with you. I think Phil Jones has been quality. I wouldn't just have him playing as a reserve right-back. I'd have him as the starting centre-back quickly.
Yeah, well, I'd have him as starting centre-back, but he can obviously slot into that a defensive right-back if needed.
Yeah, but for me, he's the first centre-back I want to name on that pitch. I couldn't agree more.
Well, Merson actually does name Phil Jones in as centre-backs, so we'll just stick
who
to...
Who are the other ones?
We're not to that bit yet. Right, centre-backs are Cahill, Stones, Jones, Smalling and Keane.
So he's not taking Maguire?
No, I'll take Maguire.
I'd take Maguire over Keane.
You say Smalling?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't take Smalling.
The hell are we taking Smalling for? He doesn't play.
He's 6'6".
Is that it? Is that all? Yeah. Like, alright, Peter Crouch.
I'd take Peter Crouch.
To be fair, he's actually been quite good this season.
The other one I have is Alfie Mawson. Is it too late for him to get his way in? Or?
I think there's an argument there.
I've been impressed with Keane since he joined Everton.
No, I have to agree there. He's not adjusted well to a team that's naturally looking to get the ball forward and attack a lot more. He did really well at Burnley, where it's obviously a very defensive outlet. But you also got to ask, what are England going to be when we turn onto this World Cup? We're not going to be a very defensive outlet. Now, it's okay to have that option if we're going to go that way, but we never seem to quite convince ourselves to be practical when it comes to European football, international football in general. So, if he keeps playing at this for about a year, no, I wouldn't take Keane. I definitely wouldn't take Smalling. I would much rather we took a younger player than Smalling, or someone who's maybe just, I don't know, a little bit more consistent. It wouldn't be ridiculous to say someone like Mawson, or even someone like Jack Stevens, who hasn't, you know, set the world on fire, but you think, okay, give him a bit of an international experience. Let's say we go to the World Cup and we either do terribly or we do rather well, and we're through or out within two games. Then you've got an opportunity to say, right, let's give him a shot. No pressure. So, yeah, let's face it, if you bring five centre-backs, you're not going to get three of them injured, are you? You're not going to have that much bad luck. So I think there's a bit of room to bring in some younger blood there.
Should we just go back and confirm it? So we're going with Trippier and Walker as the centre-back, the right-backs?
Yeah, basically, because there's not really much other options.
You could just take one right-back. You don't have to take two.
No, you need two.
So Nathaniel Klein's not going to get in, is he?
No, he's rubbish.
Also, the centre-backs, well, you've got like players like Dyer that could easily just fit in there.
Yeah. So we're going to go with Jack Stevens?
I say yes.
So, I don't know.
It's a podcast, Richard. Commit.
I've not seen enough of him. He'd be probably on a par with Ben Gibson.
No, he's a bit better than Ben Gibson. Ben Gibson got relegated, who cares?
I'll have him in, because he's not going to get in the team, and he needs a podcast, so it doesn't matter.
Right, so yes, we're getting rid of Michael Keane and put Jack Stevens in.
Well, who are we replacing Chris Useless Smalling for?
Harry Maguire.
Yeah, I agree.
Alright, so our centre-backs are Cahill, Stones, Jones, and Jack Stevens, and Harry Maguire. Alright, at left-back...
I think it sums up how shit England are now when you compare them.
I knew that was coming.
The days of like Ferdinand, Terry, King, and Carragher.
Yeah.
Four options.
Yeah... We're not making out of a group, are we?
At left back, he's chose Danny Rose and Bertrand.
I definitely agree with Bertrand. I think Bertrand's got to be starting at this point because no England left back is playing more consistently than Bertrand. I don't know about Rose because is he actually injured? Is he genuinely injured at the moment, or is he not playing because he's getting outplayed by Ben Davis, who is actually crap? I'm sorry, Welsh fans. I know you like Ben Davis. I quite liked him at first too. He is a bit rubbish. He can't really do anything particularly well. And I really don't buy that Danny Rose is injured.
No. I just wants to go to United.
Is he? I don't know if he's that good.
I was quite impressed with Creswell against Lithuania. Was it Lithuania who did play on Sunday?
Yeah.
I thought Creswell played pretty well in that game.
I think he's cack as well. I'd take Ben Chilwell. We can take some player like Danny Rose, who I don't know if he's rubbish or injured or just really, really pissy, who's not playing half a season at least, Or we can take, you know, an Aaron Cresswell who's in the prime of his career and is still not that good. Or we can take a player who looks genuinely really, really promising, is playing well at the moment, and could be a lot better. I think it seems really obvious to me.
So it's one of them positions where we've got probably seven decent players, but no outstanding player.
As well.
I was wondering when someone was going to mention Luke Shaw. Luke, how far back has he fallen?
Luke Shaw, we've got Kieran Gibbs, we've got Ashley Young got a push.
But if we got desperate and everyone got injured, I wouldn't mind if we took Young. He's been rather good, hasn't he? Can't knock him. But no, I would think we've got to be taking someone like Shilwell, surely.
I'd be taking Rose.
I'll take Rose.
Buying him outvoted. Bloody United fans. Trying to get in his good books.
Alright, so this is probably going to be the biggest discussion. Attacking midfielders, he's picked four. Dele Alli, Sterling, Adam Lallana, and Oxlade-Chamberlain, he's gone for.
Oxlade-Chamberlain. I'll let you handle this one.
Have you seen the highlights of him since he joined Liverpool?
Yes, it's very entertaining.
So he could have... I've just made a list of other attacking midfielders we could have. You could have Jesse Lingard, Ross Barkley, Mikel Antonio, Wolcott, Nathan Redman, and Anchis Townsend.
In fairness, they're all pretty shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't take Redman. I'll tell you one who I would take there, and that's Antonio. Because again, I'm of the opinion that, and if this is something you will genuinely see the best national teams do, you need to have something a little bit different. You need to have a different option. Hmm. The Spanish take, for the last few years, they've taken the Adjuritz to tournaments, or they've taken some massive Spanish striker like Llorente, because they know it gives you a different option.
Yeah.
The Germans do it too. They all know that sometimes you're going to be in a game against a team who's going to sit back and defend, you're going to have a hard as hell time breaking them down. You need to be able to do something different, or you're going to be chasing game, you need to be able to punt it along, you need someone who's going to offer you something different. Antonio is one of the best winger come attacking midfielder come strikers for getting on the right back or left back, demolishing him in the air and winning the headers. I think that we haven't got anyone better than that. There are so few players who are better than that generally in all of Europe.
Yeah.
So I think, why wouldn't we take someone who can give us something that different? And that potent if we need to lay on. Because we're obviously not going to play all four of those players. So if you're looking lay on, you're thinking, all right, let's take off Dele Alli for Barkley. Great, that's another player who's just going to run blindly with the ball and then probably dive. Or we can place him with Adam Lallana, who will work hard, be tired within 60 minutes. But, you know, he works hard. He occasionally scores an open goal, so that's good. Bring on something actually different. So yeah. I think when you're looking at those signings, well, yes, obviously it's going to be Dele Alli, but when you're looking at the spots behind that, I think, God, pick something that will change the game if we have to.
I'd have Barkley in there. When Barkley is in the mood, he can destroy a team.
Key phrase, when Barkley is in the mood. He hasn't been in the mood for about 3 years, Richard.
It's a World Cup. If there's anything that's ever going to motivate a player, it has to be a World Cup.
Wasn't based on stats, he was the under-23 player of the year last year. He got the most assists and most goals.
In Europe, I think it was.
Who are we talking about?
Barkley.
Ross Barkley.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, he was above the likes of Dembele and stuff.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Dele Alli?
No.
I am 9,000% certain. I remember this stat. I remember Ross talking about it on the show, and it was Dele Alli.
Yeah. It was Ross Barkley.
I'm tempted to say you're just wrong.
Right, so just because we're just past the hour mark, so which four are we going to go for?
I want Antonio.
I like Antonio.
Dele Alli is a certainty.
Dele Alli is a defo, yeah. The team's Sterling.
Lallana, I would go with. I'm not his biggest fan, but I can see what he provides.
Fine.
Alli and Lallana. I like Antonio. I'd go with Antonio as well.
I'd have Antonio and Barkley. I wouldn't bother with Oxlade or Walcott.
Yeah, fine. I'll agree.
What about Sterling?
Wouldn't you put him on the wing?
I'd have Sterling as attacking mid.
Yeah.
Can we have him on the wing?
Well, I think they've just thrown any winger attacking midfielder in the same bracket here.
Okay, in that case, I'll replace Lallana with Sterling, surely.
No, I'd have Lallana. I'd get rid of your lad.
No! Lallana! Come on, Chris.
Get rid of Lallana?
Yeah, come on. Sterling.
I like Sterling. Well, at the moment, we've got Dele Alli, Sterling, Lallana, and Antonio.
I'm fine with that, too. So you are voting, Richard. You are voting, sorry.
Alright, we'll go with that. Central midfield... Paul Merson's picked Eric Dier, Jordan Henderson, and Jack Wilshere.
He's back on the coke, isn't he? Jack Wilshere. Jack, I mean, anybody who has listened to this podcast with any regularity will know my feelings on Jack Wilshere, so I'm not going to repeat them. Aside from that, he's the most useless, aberrant, foul excuse for modern football there ever was. But what the hell could he have possibly done to have justified, within the last 2 years, that he should even be anywhere close to an England shirt?
I think it's basically because you look at the alternatives and the depth of the central midfield for England at the moment.
Okay, can I propose one? I'll propose a simple one.
Say Tim Ward-Prowse.
I'm going to say James Ward-Prowse. Because if we're going on it even slightly on the basis of, well, Jack Wilshere is still kind of young, so he can still do it, which is what I swear some people are going to be going on, because they'll be saying big players like Jake Livermore shouldn't be anywhere near it, because, geez, they're just not going to get any better. James Ward-Prowse is... Let's compare him to Jack Wilshere. Both technically very good players. Okay, yes, Ward-Prowse can't run the ball like Wilshere, sure. But one of them is footballing scum, and one of them is actually a pretty good example of a modern professional, who would be very good to have, not just in a team for what he can offer coming off the bench, especially with things like set pieces, but for someone who you think, if I want these people on the training ground, interacting with each other, let's not have wankers, because that does not work for us for decades.
What about Harry?
Let's not have the wankers.
What about Harry Winks? He got man of the match the other day. I thought he played very well.
I'd be tempted with him. I thought he did excellent.
I think him alongside Eric Dyer is a good mix.
I'd be fine with Harry Winks. I still don't get why we're even talking about Henderson. Surely one of you agrees.
I don't know what he has ever done.
I would honestly rather than Henderson, we bought Carrick back. If we wanted that kind of player, I would think, you know, they're going to say, okay, maybe Henderson could be, you know, like Carrick. Why would we want like Carrick when we've got Carrick? Carrick's still better than the smaller Carrick.
We certainly should never go into a game with a midfield of Dyer and Henderson.
No, it's just lacking of anything, that midfield. I'd be happy if we're taking Ward-Prowse and Winks over Henderson and Wilshere. I'd also be happy if we took Carrick over one of those other two, because what have they done, aside from being entirely average for however long we can remember, to even justify thinking about them in England shirt? Come on! We're just doing it because they're names people know. That's it, surely.
Henderson, for me, is just the football definition, player-wise, of beige.
Yeah,
that is a perfect description. I was going to say he's like a carpet. That is absolutely perfect. He's a beige carpet.
He's a beige carpet who wants to be a maroon carpet.
Out of 10 in everything. There's nothing that he's particularly great at. There's nothing he's particularly awful about. But he's just not brilliant at anything.
Yeah, that is pretty much perfect. That's a perfect description of Jordan Henderson. And he's from Sunderland.
So have we decided on Dyer, Winks and Ward-Prowse?
Is Milner no longer about for England?
Oh, Milner.
We could take Milner. I mean, I personally would drop any of those.
Should we put Milner in instead of Henderson?
And he's a player as well. You could, you know, if you need to, he can slot it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, no, I'll be happy with taking Milner. I like Milner. I think Milner's a good player.
So you're happy with Eric Dyer, Milner, and James Ward-Prowse as the three central midfielders?
I mean, yeah, if people want to substitute Ward-Prowse out for Winks, I can understand that, but I personally would disagree. He's been doing it for a lot longer than Winks has. But
I think Winks has only played four games, hasn't he? Sorry?
Did you mention Dyer?
I just ticked Dyer straight away. I thought, yeah, Eric Dyer. So that Dyer, Milner and Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, with Winks as emergency backup.
Yeah, I'll agree there.
Because one's going to have to get injured.
That means we've got four spaces left for the strikers.
Merson
went with Harry Kane, James Vardy, Marcus Rashford and Andy Carroll.
I hate to agree with Paul Merson. I do think we should take a player like Carroll, if he's fit.
Peter Crouch, okay.
On the same basis of taking someone like Antonio. Because let's face it, if we're in a game and we're playing Harry Kane and Harry Kane's not working, we've obviously got someone like Rashford or Vardy playing off them and they're not working. So let's say we've got Rashford. So Rashford's pace is not working. We'll bring on Vardy and go, that was a good decision. We just brought on a fitter version of the exact same player. Okay. But if you then bring on someone like Andy Carroll, I know people don't like Andy Carroll, but he's the same kind of player as Fellaini. He's actually bloody effective at what he does. I think there is a basis for bringing a player like that.
I love Andy Carroll. I think he's great. If you get a fully fit, played for 6 months, in decent form, Andy Carroll, he'd be in every England squad.
You've just been absolutely slating the likes of Wiltshire, and then in the same breath say, take Andy Carroll.
Yeah, Andy Carroll's a dick. He's not as much of a dick as Wilshere. And at
he's
least without
a bit. He's as much scum as
yes, he's a layer of scum just above Wilshere. But at least he offers you something different. Wilshere offers us nothing, but all Wilshere will do is come in and offer the other players bags. That's all he'll do. Andy Carroll at least can win the ball in the air.
Do what with it?
Head it, you nonce.
Are we agreed that Harry Kane and Dark Marcus Rashford are definitely going?
Yeah.
We'll argue with the other two.
I'd take Peter Crouch over Andy Carroll.
I'm fine with that. That's the second argument I'm making. I'm fine with taking Peter Crouch. Well, he's actually really good.
All three of us agreed on Peter Crouch, okay?
We're building a proper Sam Allardyce team. We should have never got rid of it.
Alright, so for the last one, we've got Vardy, we've got Welbeck, Sturridge is not going to go, is he? Jermaine Defoe, Tammy.
Tell you what, I like Vardy as a player in terms of he's really competitive, and you know he comes on the pitch and will give you absolutely everything. But I like Danny Welbeck in an England shirt. He always does it in an England shirt.
Yeah,
when has Danny Welbeck not performed for England? Yes, he's not the best player in the world. Yes, he's not the young player where everyone thought, oh, he's going to go off and be a really, really good player. No, he's not reached that level. But sometimes, it's on the same basis as Milner. Sometimes you need a player you can depend on for playing in about four positions, and who will always give you about 7-8 out of 10 points.
Yeah, agreed. Andy Welbeck. Richard?
I'm happy with Welbeck. I think he does do a job. That's why I said Crouch, because just, you put an English shirt on Crouch, and he... How many goals has Crouch scored for England? Something like 22.
I think he has a one in two record. I think he has one.
Crouch is the English Tim Cahill. He's immortal. He would do this until he's 95.
So do you want to hear the team we've picked then? So.
Go on.
It's as shit as Mercy's.
We can put a poll up and see who.
Who's been taking more drugs, us or Merson?
Alright, so we agreed with Merson taking Hart, Butland, and Pickford. We also agreed to take Walker and Trippier, and Danny Rose and Bertram. His centre backs were Cahill, Stones, Jones, Smalling, and Keane. We went with Cahill, Stones, Jones, Harry Maguire, and Jack Stevens. Steve Merson. Paul Merson with Dele Alli, Raheem Sterling, Adam Lallana, and Oxley Chamberlain as his attacking midfielders. We went with Dele Alli, Raheem Sterling, Adam Lallana, and Mikel Antonio. Central midfielders, he went for Eric Dyer, Jordan Henderson, and Jack Wilshere. We went for Eric Dyer, Milner, and James Ward-Prowse. And his strikers were Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy, Marcus Rashford, and Andy Carroll. We went for Harry Kane, Danny Welbeck, Marcus Rashford, and Peter Crouch.
It's such a bad team of you. Peter Crouch and Jack Stevens.
Can we pick a better squad than James Merson? Oh, Jake. Why do you keep saying the wrong name? Oh, I'm getting knackered.
How many of these Merson books are
there? So can we pick a better team than Paul Merson? What do you think? So I think I will leave it there for tonight. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football and check out our website, V2Football.com. I'll put both squads against each other on the on the website tomorrow, so if you wanted to, and then we'll do a Twitter poll or something to see which one you think's best. good night.
Good night.